you all to welcome me back. I kept on saying to my sister, I've got to go back home. I can't wait to go back home. I need to go back home. And she said, what's so important about going back home? I said, well, besides the fact that my honey is there, I also want to go back home because I miss my church, I said. So I'm so glad to be with you. Also, can you hear me better now? Did you hear everything I said before? Okay. I also want you to pray for me because it's the most unfortunate thing that I'm traveling again. I traveled to Rwanda this week, and then after that I come back, and unfortunately I've got to travel back to the USA. So please keep me in your prayers. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, it is in you we live and we move and we have our being. I pray that you would bless us, O Lord, and open our ears that we may hear your word. Open our hearts that we will receive. In Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a world where we always compare ourselves to others. We second guess and even doubt ourselves as we ask the question, am I enough? Am I smart enough? Am I good enough because I went on a job interview and I didn't get the job, so am I good enough? Am I good enough since I cannot find a job? Am I pretty enough? Am I handsome enough? Is there something wrong with me since I posted a photo of myself and I didn't get any likes? Am I good enough because of my complexion? Am I good enough because of my body shape? Am I good enough because my hair does not blow in the wind? Am I good enough because I'm too short or too tall? And it goes on and on and on. We doubt our worth. We like to play the comparison game. Even our parents do the same thing. They compare us to other children at times. They may say, I remember a brother Washira who used to sit over there. And his daughter was the top in the country. Why can't you get decent remarks, we may say to our children. Am I good enough? The question has become part of our persona. It is how we measure ourselves daily. We even carry ourselves in a way that gives off a sense that we lack self-confidence. Sometimes our young people walk around broken because someone that has influence over them said something that broke their spirit. This has caused insecurities to develop. Every time this is seen as we say to ourselves, am I worthy? How do I prove myself that I am good enough becomes the driving force with all of us. This also can cause young people to go into a downward spiral of sex and drugs and being easily influenced by their peers, partying every opportunity and not caring about school. I want to share a story with you about a young woman. Her name is Fatini. Fatini committed lots of sexual sins. To top it off, she comes from a community of people who are considered outcasts. They were looked down upon and held with low self-esteem by others. You can see this woman was coming not only from a community of people that were outcasts, but also because of the way she conducted her life, she also was an outcast. One day, around noon, the hot is part of the day, she went to get water from the community borehole. She carried this big jug in the heat of the sun in the desert. I can only speculate that this woman chose this time of the day because she wanted to avoid the people who looked down on her, called her names, or perhaps bullied her. We see she was, every time she's around other women, she felt less than. She told herself that I'm not enough. Fatini, the name given to this Samaritan woman when she was made saint by the Catholic Church. One day she went to this borehole and she was approached by a man who said, "I'd like a drink of water." Now this went against the customs of the day for a man to even talk to her, less having a conversation. "How can you ask me for water?" she wanted to know. "For I am a Samaritan woman and you are a Jew," she told him. He said that "I will give you living water, a different type of water. Jesus says everyone who drinks of this water will get thirsty again, but anyone who drinks of the water that I will give them will never thirst again. The water that I will give them will spring up gushing as fountains of endless life." Amen. Fatima, she lived a life of brokenness. When she lived a life of brokenness, she had relationships that she tried to satisfy herself, but she couldn't be satisfied. Her family perhaps ignored her because of her lifestyle. She went to the well at a safe time to avoid others. This woman who used to find her worth and value in relationships, but yet those could not satisfy her. She pretended as if she was okay, but she was not okay. One unplanned conversation with Jesus changed her life for eternity. She knew that she was now talking or had encountered the King of Kings, the Messiah, the chosen one, the one that would deliver her. Now, my friends, I'm not sure if Eliud Kipchoge was a descendant of this woman, because they said she ran with speed to tell about her encounter. I'm not sure that she wore a special pair of Nike Zoom Vaporfly shoes, because the way she went haraka haraka to tell the village people that she met a man that told her everything that she needed to know about herself. She ran to the community of people who passed by and pointed at her. Women who said to their daughters, "I never want you to be like that one." She ran to the very community that mothers and fathers told their son to stay away from women of that kind. My friends, the Bible says that she ran with haste to the village, to the women who would look her up and down when they walked with their husbands, as if to say, "Don't you dare. That man is my man." Women, you know what I'm talking about. This woman, the Bible called the Samaritan woman, I refer to as her patina, the name the Catholic Church gave her, ran with haste to tell about the Messiah that she had encountered, that changed her life around. You know, when you have a real conversion, you don't have to convince people that you have been changed. Your whole life is changed. It's not just coming up one Sunday making a decision, But it's a lifestyle change that you encounter. The Bible tells us that the Samaritan woman went to the village with haste. She told them about the man that she met, and her testimony converted the village. Now, my friends, that's an amen story. You understand that a woman living in her lifestyle, who now was converted by Jesus, went to tell the villagers about her encounter. They were so convinced that they also changed their lifestyle. There's something about being in the presence of the Holy One that she knew right away that she was all that plus more. She found her voice. She found her joy. She had dropped from the living waters, and she found what was missing in her life. It wasn't drugs. It wasn't alcohol. It wasn't endless relationships. But my friends, she tasted of the living waters that changed her life completely around. I'm about to finish, my friends. You see, when I speak and I preach at Fishers, we have a deal that my sermon's about 5, no more than 10 minutes. Young people, parents, members, and friends, as I'm about to end, I want to know, are you enough? I can answer this question in two ways. No, you're not enough. If you use the yardstick of the world to compare yourself. But yes, you are enough if you understand that you are a part of the body of Christ. And my friend, that is a big deal. You've been called to be a part of the body of Christ. And God said that I made you a little less than I am, a little less than the angels. Like the Samaritan woman, she did not allow her past to define her presence. She had been touched by Jesus. Oh, my friends, I know that we often live a diet of telling ourselves that we're not enough. My friends, I know that this is chipped away at our self-worth. But yet many biblical characters felt as if they were not enough. You remember Moses, who felt he was not enough because he had a speech impediment. He told God that he could not be the spokesperson, but God took his weakness and made it a strength. Moses led his people to the promised land. Imagine the struggle Mary might have had, the mother of Jesus, when she learned that she was pregnant out of wedlock. The whispers of the religious community, as well as others. But yet she allowed God to use her to bring forth the Savior of the world. When I think about Peter in the Bible, I'm reminded of a story that I read that was a survey conducted, a research conducted by Harvard Medical School. They say that about 8% of adolescents display anger issues. That probably is not an African thing, huh? And they're diagnosed with explosive disorder. Well, Peter would have been included in this 8% because he also had explosive disorder issues. He denied Christ 3 times. Yet God used him as one of the leading figures to spread the gospel in the world. I'm not enough because my body is too small, David thought. But yet God used him to defeat Goliath. Oh, young people, I know that you have tweets that can perhaps destroy your life, but don't let words that are demeaning take away what God has put in you. The world is wrong. It tells you that life is better if you look a certain way. But God says that I will give you joy. You are my child. I want to read the same passage that was read to you, from Romans, but I'm reading from the Message Bible. Let us listen to these words. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body, chosen people. Each of us find our meaning and function as part of his body. But as chopped off finger or chopped off toe, we cannot amount to much. So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioned parts of Christ's body, let's go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously, pridefully comparing ourselves to each other or trying to do something that we're not. In the name of God, our Redeemer, in the name of God, the King of Kings, in the name of the Holy Spirit, who reminds us daily who we are. Let us pray. O come, faithful God, let us realize that we carry a VIP passport. You and I are citizens of heaven, diplomats sent on earth. We are more than enough. God, whatever state that we find ourselves in on this morning, as young people, as parents of fishers, and as members of this congregation, we know that once we have beholded you, once we have encountered you, you will transform our tears into smiles. God, I pray on this day that you would lift up the bowed down head. God, I pray that you would lift those who are depressed with suicidal thoughts, feeling, dear God, discouraged. We pray, oh God, that those who compare themselves, they would listen to, not to the voice of the world, but that defines and be defined by it. But we will allow you, oh God, to speak to our spirit. God, I come with those who are involved with reckless behavior, all because they feel they don't measure up. God, we want you. We want to have a God encounter with you. We give you all the things that we have struggled with in our lives, oh God. Trying to feel accepted in school. Feeling as if our grades are not what we want them to be. Feeling, oh God, that we have to prove ourselves to other people. God, we pray that you would come into the lives of our young people, especially, dear God, as they prepare themselves for holidays. I pray, oh God, that you would give them such a God encounter as they travel to Mombasa, as they enjoy themselves and be blessed by the fisher service, oh God. I pray that your presence will be with them. Thank you for your words this morning. Thank you for the service and opportunity, dear God, for the young people to share with us their gifts. Thank you for reminding us that we are enough. Well, all that plus more. In Jesus' name, amen.